love me, yeah they love me. First love yourself. For that, and God we trust. Trust me, I don't trust myself. Your jewelry, I get it to. No show.
Welcome back to It Is What It Is. This episode is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. The app is an easy way to make some cash just by making picks on your favorite players. Underdog is available in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, and New York, just to name a few. Make sure to support the show by hitting the link in the bio and downloading the Underdog Fantasy app. They'll also match your first deposit up to $100, and you get a special pick when you sign up. I'm Treasure Wilson, a.k.a. Stat Baby, along with your hosts, Mace and Cam.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Killer, I'm doing good, man. Reparations is getting closer and closer. I'll be sure to give you your percentage.
I had nothing to do with that money. That's all yours, man. I was on the next boat. Yeah, man. I'm getting closer and closer.
Closer and closer. Okay. The big payback.
You, this has been the last year. It's really kind of been the big payback for you, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Okay. Last week, you went destiny. You went destiny. You know what happened yesterday, right?
Yeah, man. That's what I'm trying to say. It's going crazy.
What happened?
I'm going to let you start. What did you see that happen?
Oh, yesterday was the anniversary of Biggie Smalls' album, 27 years later. That's what I seen yesterday. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, that was real. It's amazing that all of this would transpire on that day.
What's crazy is yesterday was Biggie Smalls' 27th anniversary of Life After Death. And it was also the Diplomat Immunity album, 21st anniversary. Shit's going on. Yeah, man. I was just saying yesterday was kind of.
That's eerie, man.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. What's going on? That's kind of crazy, man. I had no idea that, you know, the internet lets you know, because I don't be knowing these dates for my albums or other people's albums, but they will remind you, man. Yeah. That's all you seen?
Seen a lot.
Well, that's what I've seen. That's what I was
seeing. I've seen helicopters, all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
It's a lot of things.
Yeah.
Got it. Well, I'm happy you guys are having a great day and a great couple of days. So, boom, when speaking on Travis Hunter and Shador in the 2025 draft, Deion Sanders says, I know where I want them to go, so there are certain cities that ain't going to happen. So what cities do you guys think are a no-go, and then how do you feel about Deion's thoughts?
Are we talking about Deion as a coach?
Yeah.
Deion is out of there already?
No. He's still there for the 2025 draft. Draft teams.
Oh.
Basically, what he's saying is he knows where his son is going and not going, and where Travis will go and where Travis will not go. What do you think about what he had to say about that?
Oh, I agree with him. I notice the places he's looking at is probably like sunshine states, you know, places that you can live at. You know, sometimes having a good career is a part of being in a city that you could see yourself growing in. And, you know, thinking about New York and places like that, not San Diego, but the LA Chargers, maybe not the Rams, but the Chargers is, but I don't know with the quarterback being there, he probably wouldn't go there. But those would be some of the ideal places I know they would love to go. Or San Francisco, Dallas. One of those storybook franchises that really have a high ceiling for great talent and high markability.
Yeah. I mean, I always wondered how that worked when it pertains to not just football, but even basketball. I always wondered how that went. And Deion probably knows way more than I know when it comes to draft and going to teams and so on and so forth. Because my thing would be, if I'm eligible for the draft of my senior year and I don't want to go back and I can't go back to college and I don't want to go back and I see this team as the first pick, like let's just use this year for an example, mm-hmm. right? The Bears have the first pick. They already got Justin Fields the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
So it's looking like more than likely they're going to get Caleb Williams. So my thing is, my question is this, and I don't know the answer. It's a question.
Yeah.
To where, if you know the Bears are getting you and you're Caleb Williams and you don't want to go to the Bears, you'd be like, I'm just not entering the draft.
Yeah.
You can't force me to enter the draft. How does that work when you be like, I'm not going to the draft and you can't make me go? Do they get the rights to draft you? And whenever you want to get in the NFL, they'd be like, well, we're drafting you, whether you come this year, pause or not, and we'll be waiting on you whenever you decide to come. It's like, I remember years ago, they kind of did that with Ricky Rubio when he was overseas and he was the sensation. And I forget what team he went to for his first time when he was getting drafted. He didn't want to go to the team, so he stayed overseas. And whenever he got to the NBA, he had to stay with that team that drafted him, even if it was 2 or 3 years after he originally got drafted. They had his draft rights. I wonder if that's still going on and if that pertains to college football. But as far as Deion's remarks, I don't know. It's because it's too many open questions at this particular time that Deion has the answer to. And you know what? I spoke to Deion day before yesterday. Shout out to Coach Prime. I spoke to him day before yesterday. Maybe I'll ask him. I'll give him a call later on today and ask him exactly how it works. But if he's saying, I know what's going to work and they not going there, not going there, I guess he got the thing figured out, because I figured if you get drafted by some team, they have your draft rights. And if you don't want to go, then whenever you're ready to get here, they keep the draft rights. So I'm assuming.
I was thinking when you started speaking, I was thinking about Zion when he was being selected by New Orleans. Everybody, even himself, probably wanted to go to New York, but he knew somehow he would end up in New Orleans. So you don't say certain things. Maybe that's what players are doing. Or they might say these things behind the scene. So if they ever end up with the team, they don't look that bad. But then I was brought back to, there was one player out of Baltimore. He basically told them, if they draft me, I'm not coming.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no,
that
listen.
That was crazy. That was the first time I ever saw that, and probably the last time.
Right, but see, that's what happens. Say you say that, and you go there anyway. Now you have the crowd against you because you already disrespected the city. Now you may not play good. Now they're against you for not even playing good. Mm-hmm. So to say that publicly and still have to go somewhere, it's kind of crazy, but I would definitely like to get some more detail on that. In fact, I'm going to call Coach Prime and ask him exactly what he meant when he said that.
So from what we know, that situation isn't happening with Caleb Williams, but RG3 is implying is that that's what should happen. So he said that Caleb Williams should pull an Eli Manning and refuse to play for the Chicago Bears, who have the first overall pick for this year's draft. What do you guys think about Caleb's situation that he's entering? And then do you agree with RG3's statement?
Why should he not play for the Bears? I don't understand that.
He just doesn't think that that's going to be a good situation for him as a rookie quarterback, which a lot of people disagree, but want to know you guys' thoughts.
Maybe he's looking into this situation like the quarterback from North Carolina this year, who was the top pick, but didn't end up having a great year because he had no help there. But I don't see when this is all said and done that Chicago is not going to have any help.
And what was RG3's exact statement?
He said that Caleb Williams should pull an Eli Manning and refuse to play for the Chicago Bears.
I know if the Chicago Bears wanted RG3 right now, he would go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This same guy running in his slacks.
Yeah, exactly.
Running the 4-0 in his slacks.
Exactly. He would go right now. I don't think, and no disrespect to RG3's football experience, his talent, his athleticism. Pardon me if I didn't pronounce that right, but I wouldn't take advice from him. Like,
that's what I was going to say. I hate when OGs give poor advice.
Yeah, I'm not taking advice from him. Now, I get it. The Bears organization has not been that good for a long time. It's been proven over the last decade or so, maybe longer. But at the end of the day, I'm not. If I'm the number one pick right now, right now, now we got to think about being the number one pick.
All the people you can talk to
as the number one pick. the list goes on and on and on. Look, we got Shedeur Sanders talking to Tom Brady last year. We got all these people that have relationships.
And you're talking to RG3.
And then we got to take advice from RG3. I wouldn't take the advice from RG3. And I get it. He's getting paid to give his opinion and give his expertise. But I'm just saying from a distance looking, nah. Because to be honest with you, I know it's probably different management, definitely different coaching staff, so on and so forth. But you kind of had the opportunity that Lamar Jackson had. You I'm not saying you was Michael Vick, but you was on that path and you didn't learn how to slide. You didn't learn how to get out of bounds. You kept getting hit too hard, too many concussions, and then you left the NFL too fast. So you have no coaching experience. Analysts, you say some wild things when you out there. And I don't know. Why would I listen to RG3 if I'm Caleb Williams?
So to also add on to that, basically RG3 was also saying that he didn't like the way that the Bears handled the Justin Fields situation by sending him off to Pittsburgh. So he said, everything that just happened with Justin Fields, can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, this is the organization that has my best interest in heart, and are they going to help develop me into the player I want to become?
Yes, because they got rid of everything for you to make sure you had no competition. And there's something different about the coach in any sports. Pause, putting the ball in your hand and saying, this is your team. So if he would have came into the situation with Justin Fields, that would have not been to Caleb Williams' benefit. That would have put him in a situation where you're the number one pick and you're not even guaranteed to start. It's almost like going to college. I'm not going to the college where I got to play to get a spot. I'm going to the college that already said, this is your team. You get to shoot as much as you want. That's where most guys this year is going. They're not going somewhere. See, that's why you can't listen to RG3. Thank you, Killer, for saying that.
Yeah,
that's exactly why. He jumps in the pool at the football game. Just stop.
Yeah. I couldn't have said it better.
He said, I agree. Okay. Chet Holmgren is about 53 games into his rookie year and hasn't missed a single game this season after we know he came back from an injury last season. How do you guys feel about Chet's turnaround then? OKC as a whole?
We got to stop celebrating niggas not missing games. Like this is ridiculous that we celebrate niggas not missing games. Now, to Chet's point, or credit, I should say, that's sensational. You didn't miss a game. I'm from the era. Listen, man, I know I may have brought this stat up on the show once, twice, maybe three times. Maybe I haven't. I'm not sure if I did that. Didn't with us working the last year or so. But Karl Malone at 18 years, and I know I'm always going back to when I was playing ball, but 18 seasons, he missed 6 games. You know, it wasn't a big deal to play 82 games, you know, at this point. Joker got MVP one year over Joel Embiid, and I'm not saying they wasn't neck and neck. His stats proved he should get MVP that year, but the reason they also gave it to him because he didn't miss any games. It's a celebration now when you don't miss any games.
Yeah. It's almost like when a nigga take care of his kids. It's like, yo, I was with my kids. They're your kids. Yeah, this is your assignment. Why are we celebrating?
You know I'll be taking care of my kids, right? Nigga, the fuck is you talking about? They your kids. You 100% right. Stop bragging
about
it.
You miss no games. We're paying you for games. Yeah, exactly. Somebody let them know this, please.
Exactly. So that's first and foremost. Secondly, before I get to OKC as a team, nigga missed the whole season last year.
Yeah.
Like, yo, he was part of an NBA team, and that's another argument for another day when people say, should you be eligible to be Rookie of the Year? Yeah. Like Ben Simmons was, because you're with the team the whole year, even though you didn't play, but you're gaining.
You traveled.
Yeah, you get an NBA.
Got to know the regimen.
Right. You get NBA experience. Not necessarily on the court, but everything outside of that, practice, schemes, defensive schemes, knowledge, plays that's ran by other organizations, et cetera. So when they say he didn't miss any games this season, he missed 82 games last year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo. Well,
technically, he only plays 41 games a year.
Right. No. Yeah. From the percentage wise, if he plays all 82 games, yeah, he's at 50%.
That's what I'm saying. 41 yeah, games a year.
Right. Exactly. So I'm happy he's playing and it's setting the standard for what people and players should be doing, but I'm not celebrating niggas who didn't miss no games. Yeah. And we're in that state now to where players and coaches and fans are probably like, yo, nigga ain't missed no games. Come on now, give it up for that nigga. Yo, that nigga ain't missed no games. Yo, come on now. And it's like, nigga is not supposed to miss games. He's a young kid. It isn't like he's all that low management pause. He's fucking 20 years old, 21 years old.
Yeah.
OKC is a team. Now, to answer that question, sensational. Look, Minnesota and OKC started off out the gate this season as, you know, first 10, 15 games in the number one and the number two seed. And right now, Oklahoma City is the number two seed. They're half a game ahead of Minnesota, and they're half a game behind the Denver Nuggets. But for them to sustain the number one, two, or three seed throughout the whole season so far with about anywhere from 12 to 9 games left in the season, depending on what your record is and what team you're on, it's sensational because we may not have thought OKC would get back to this. You got to realize Chet is a lottery pick. So When you're a lottery pick, most of the times your team isn't good when you're a lottery pick. Now, Shai Gill has a lot to do with that and what he did last year, and adding Chet into the equation definitely helps a lot. But we got to think about OKC as an organization. A lot of people may not even know that OKC was the Seattle Supersonics before that, but they had a lot of success in Seattle, didn't necessarily win the championship. Then they moved to OKC where you got Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, get to the championship, don't get the job done. The Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook project gets separated. You bring Paul George there. You bring Carmelo Anthony there. You bring other superstars there. And that didn't work out. So you're thinking, damn, it isn't going to go good for this organization moving forward to where they become a lottery team. Mm-hmm. Then you run into a surprise like Shai Gill, and you're like, oh, shit, this nigga's nice. Then you get Chet. You're like, okay, he's going to bring something to the table. So right now it's about seeing what they could do in the playoffs. But as far as the regular season is concerned, it's been sensational for them.
Yeah. And before that, they got Giddey, and Giddey was supposed to be promising. He just got to work on that jump shot for real. I think he's a jump shot away from them being a real championship team. If he was able to hit a three, they could win it all because – is partially why they is putting Shai at the one, because he can't shoot. Not he can't shoot, he just don't make shots at all.
Okay. Also, Steve Kerr spoke on Steph's 30-minute load in the Warriors' 114-110 loss to the Timberwolves. He said, "We can't expect to just ride Steph. We've put the burden of this franchise on his shoulder for 15 years. What do you guys think about what Steve Kerr had to say?
I respect Steve Kerr, but I think that statement alone is incorrect. Yes, they have put a lot on Steph Paul's over the years, but not all 15 years Steph was doing this. Now, Steph was a major contributor, but didn't negate that there was many years that Iguodala was doing this thing. There was many years that Sean Livingston supported. There was years that Draymond was a major contributor, as well as Clay. You know, to say they put it all the burden on Stephen Curry is an absolute lie. It's an absolute lie from the beginning, because when they won, Steph wasn't even an MVP. So that lets you know it wasn't. And I'm just really a stickler for the truth, especially when somebody make a bold statement like that. And I hate when people forget the things that other people have contributed. Now, right now, as of the last, I would say 3 to 4 years, it has been mainly Stephen Curry, mainly. But even before that, there was people that were major contributors. Even I would say it wasn't all on Steph, because 1 year Steph was out, and that's when we got the phenomenon out of what's his name, Jordan Poole. So that's 100% not true. But Killer, what would you say to that? Right now, they just
before I get to that point, Steve Kerr, you're gonna have to play Steph Curry more than 30 minutes. That's just that.
Yeah,
y'all fighting for y'all playoff lives, and first of all, y'all in the play-in. And you're in the 10th seed. So even if you're in the 10th seed, that means you have to win 2 games to get to the playoffs. Secondly, Houston is on y'all bumper pause, and Houston's been playing phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I get what you're saying, that the franchise been on Steph's back for a long time. I think I would say a little longer than Mace would say, but Mace isn't incorrect saying he isn't playing with great players. Look, he played with Monte Ellis, Rajon Bell. There's been a bunch of players his first few years, rookie years, when he got there. You know, he got there 08. You know, from I would say the Steph team became Steph's probably in 2013, and not naming the players, not saying the players that Mace didn't say is legit. He had a great team. But I'm talking about even when he came in, we always tend to forget Monte Ellis was super good. And I know they got rid of Monte Ellis for Steph, but we can't sit there and negate the fact that he may have helped Steph in his first few years be a professional player.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, don't act like Monte wasn't getting
Monte was really good. Roger Bell was really good. I believe his name was David West. Forward was really good, who had played for the Knicks for one time. It was a lot of players early in Steph's career that may have helped groom him into the superstar he may be. But as far as playing Steph 30 minutes, first of all, Steve Kerr, you ain't been there 15 years. Fuck you talking about we. We is the franchise. Put the fucking shit on his back for 15 years. Steve Kerr, you ain't come. You ain't been there 15 years, nigga. Everybody, you came and took Mark Jackson's slot, and now you acting like you, oh, us is a franchise. We've been doing this to him. You walked into a situation. You walked into a championship, nigga.
In the playoffs.
Yeah, you walked.
It wasn't like he was coaching during the regular season.
Who?
Kerr, he came in the playoffs.
His second year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that goes to give the credit to show how good that team was that you're talking about, the Golden State Warriors, because the first year he coached a whole year, then he hurt his back, it was either his second or third year, and the Walton son took over, and that goes to give credit. And what I was going to say is this, that Golden State was so good without Steve Kerr, and I don't know why the fuck I can't think of Bill Walton's son's name right now.
Luke Walton. Yeah.
Luke Walton coached the team. They had such a good record that Luke Walton got a head coaching job somewhere, I believe Sacramento.
Sacramento right after that.
Stunk it up, and we ain't heard from Luke Walton since. We don't know where the fuck Luke Walton is at right now, because that's how good Golden State was. So Steve Kerr is sitting there acting like we is a franchise. Nah, you walked into a layup, bro. Nigga threw you the alley-oop like this when the nigga under the rim and just you running your full speed. They threw you the easy alley-oop.
Yeah,
they throw you one of these from half. You know, you just learning how to dunk and they throw you this shit.
Nah, they put nigga. It right, yeah, yeah, right in front yeah, of yeah, the rim,
exactly.
Nigga.
You walked
you
into that.
You can't miss this one.
Yeah, so Steve Kerr, cut it out like you've been the Golden State so long that we as a franchise can't do this to Steph. Look, Steph after the game, you know, I like Steph because I seen the comment what Steve Kerr said live, and I seen what Steph Curry said. And Steph Curry was real polite about it. He's like, you know, if they want to play me this time too, but I'm ready to play for more minutes if needed. And it's going to be needed.
Yeah.
I can see if the rest of the team been doing well this year. You have not been doing well this year. Now, if y'all are willing to say, maybe we just don't need to make the playoffs this year and figure it out in the offseason, I dig it. But if you're trying to make the play-in this year or the playoffs, period, you're going to have to play Steph Curry more than 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of this game that they lost, and other players had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Even down to the last, in under 10 seconds, I believe there's down two. Klay Thompson gets, I'm going to say wide open for Klay. You know, it may somebody else, it may not be wide open. He had enough space to make it. And he missed it with like 4 or 5 seconds left. Nobody's been stepping up for this team. And at the end of the day, it's two things. Either you're going to have to play Steph Curry or you're going to figure it out in the offseason. But in this last stretch of games, the way Houston is playing, you're going to have to play them longer than that if you want to make the playoffs.
I also think that Steph should step up in telling Steve Kerr, come on, my nigga. Don't be out there telling people this, because you know when you play with niggas for years, you're like, yo, why is Steph letting them say this and this is not the truth? You know, niggas feel away. Like, yo, I know you having a good year. You had a great year last year, but nigga, don't act like I ain't been here cooking with you, nigga. It ain't the Splash Uno, nigga. It's Splash Brothers, nigga.
Right.
Like, don't have that nigga up there talking about you been carrying me 15 years.
Yeah. But normally Murder, yeah. I would totally agree with you. And I'm not disagreeing with you. Cause let's say niggas say that, right? Yeah. And I'm agreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just fighting back on arguments. Like one of them shits didn't be like, well, not this year.
Yeah, but not this year. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. No, I'm with all that, but it's like, cause I think Klay started pocket watching. I really think this is what happened with the Golden State Warriors. They start pocket watching Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole to where you hating on a nigga so much that you forget you supposed to be playing because you so busy hating on this nigga. Like, yo, this nigga, you know what I'm saying? The nigga be shooting crazy, man. Somebody got to talk to this nigga. To where you're not realizing you ain't working on your game because you too busy focused on Jordan Poole. And then they move Jordan Poole out the way. Now, my nigga, what you going to do? The ball is back in your court and you missing these shots. Because you're not realizing the last 2 years you haven't been taking these shots. Jordan Poole been taking these shots. And that's the observation that Steve Kerr probably haven't really examined yet. He hasn't been taking these shots, Killer, for the last 2 or 3 years. Ever since Jordan Poole got there, because remember, Steph got hurt. So Jordan Poole was in there making his own pause magic. Now that he's away from the team, you're not realizing, nigga, again, you haven't been taking them shots. I've been hitting these big shots. And when they were going in, pause, then everybody's like, oh, this nigga is like one of them brothers. But now that he's not there, it's like, who got the guts to make that shot? And they don't have nobody there.
I agree with the pocket watching. I'm not going to say the guts to make the shot because Klay got 4 championships before he got there. It's just that you're right. You may have been worrying about what niggas is getting.
And that's how you fall off.
Yeah. And it ain't about guts. It's your mentality.
Yeah.
You so mentally worried about what these niggas doing.
Yeah, that's what
doing.
I meant to say. Yeah, not the
and,
guts.
Yeah. So you so worried about what this nigga's doing and what this nigga's making. You like, I better get the big check because I had an argument, of course, with Sin about Klay Thompson the couple years that he was hurt. You know, he had a Achilles and an ACL, so he was hurt 2 years. And then the year he came back, which was the year that Jordan Poole was getting off because Klay didn't come back immediately. Mm-hmm. Steph was out. So you definitely had Jordan Poole carrying the team until they got there. And then they won a championship. So my argument with niggas was like, every year that Klay Thompson been there since whatever year it was, 2016, they won a championship. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, so when they came back and won, I was like, yeah, Klay is the key factor for them winning the championship. No, Klay ain't shit. And I'm like, he ain't shit. You can say what you want, but they win when he's there. And that's just not the case anymore.
Okay, so we're going to talk about another team on the West. So the Clippers have a 1-8 record against winning teams since All-Star break. Do you guys view the Clippers as a legit threat or not?
1-8?
Yes.
That's a lot of losses to play in winning teams. When you say winning, you're talking about over 500, am I correct? I don't like that for them, especially. Is Westbrook playing? Westbrook was playing those games. He hasn't been out those 8 games.
He's been out since March 1st.
Hmm. Yeah, so he played some of those games. We can't discount all of them. But I don't think it's that much of a problem because they probably lost 4 with Russ and probably like 4 without. What I would say to this team is that they're definitely going to need Russ, but they gotta change the chemistry up. You know, the way they're playing, like I said before, you can get away with some things because it's new. But then when people start zooming in, okay, this is how they like to play. People are just caught on to that scheme. Ty Lue, you got to change it up. This is too predictable. They run the same plays as an AAU team. And that shouldn't be the case. And people say that Ty Lue is a brilliant mind. I agree. But those plays that they're running, I mean, I would know where the ball pause is going on that team.
That sounds crazy, but okay.
I said pause. No, did he?
I didn't hear that, but okay. You know where the balls is going on that team.
I didn't say pause.
Okay.
I didn't say pause.
Okay. Okay.
Stat, you gonna say I didn't?
I plead the fifth. No comment. That's my comment.
To be honest, I was sitting here trying to find out what their record is since Westbrook been hurt. They're still fourth. They're fourth in the Western Conference. I think it says since March 1st. I don't know how many games he's missed. It's saying that he could come back possibly tomorrow. I'm not sure. More of the story is this, to answer the question. That's not good. It's never not good.
Yeah.
Losing against winning teams. And I think this, if anybody who knows how to turn it around for the playoffs, I'm going to give Ty Lue the credit. His whole team isn't there. I don't have a statement, or I haven't seen a statement of what he said. You know, Ty Lue told us, when everybody, including us on this show, was saying that, oh, this wasn't the right move for the Clippers. This wasn't the right move getting James Harden over there. They're stinking it up. And he said, give me 10 games. And we gave him 10 games, and he turned the whole thing around to where they were actually number one in the West maybe 3 weeks ago, from all the bullshit that people were saying about Harden shouldn't be there, including me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if it's any coach that could turn around, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to Ty Lue. But the playoffs are coming up, and I will say that they are going to need Russell Westbrook to be there for them to beat these contenders. Another team that we're not really talking about that much, who's mm-hmm. been really, really sneaky and winning games, and they're in the fifth seed, is the New Orleans Pelicans. New Orleans Pelicans are really winning games, and they're quiet, and they're kind of under the radar to where people are not talking about them because we're so focused that Golden State is in 10th place. We're so focused that the Lakers are in ninth place. We're so focused that Dallas Mavericks are in eighth place. We're focused on the Sacramento Kings in seventh place, teams that's all in the playoffs. We're so focused that Jalen Green is fucking Drea, and now he's playing good to where Houston can make the playoffs, to where everything else that's going on, the New Orleans Pelicans are flying under the radar saying, good, don't think about us. Don't pay us no mind. Shh. Cool. And they're going to be in the playoffs without having to be in the play-in or anything like that. Now,
Think that's a better story than Drea turning Jalen up?
I never said it was a better story. I said all the shit that's going on.
Oh, okay.
That they're flying under the radar. I didn't say that it was a better story.
Yeah, shout out to Drea.
I never said it was a better story. I said people like that be like, good, talk about them. Talk about this. Nobody paying us no mind. Yeah. Meanwhile, we're in the fifth seed. I didn't say it was a better story. I say sometimes you don't want that attention. Because look, when we was giving them attention, talking about in the play-in mm-hmm. previously in the season, and we was like, they talking about we going out.
Yeah.
Yo, nigga, if we in Vegas, nigga, we gonna go out. We gave them the attention that they probably didn't want. They stunk it up, and we talked shit about them. Ever since then, we kind of haven't been talking about them and they're winning games. Now, if the playoffs started today, it would be them against the Clippers. If it started today, which would be really interesting because they're playing good and the Clippers are playing bad. So that'd be an interesting first round matchup.
And then to answer your question, Westbrook has been out since March 1st. And then since his last appearance, they've been 5-5 in the 10 games since Westbrook has been out.
That's crazy. Yeah, I'm happy for Paul George because it seemed like he's hitting a lot of threes. They said that he passed Jamal Crawford on the 3-point list. So maybe he could keep that up. You got a long way to go a little bit before you reach Jason Terry and Vince Carter, but that's a good accomplishment.
All right, so we're going to go to break, and when we return, we will discuss an NBA player currently under investigation. Don't go anywhere. She called this thing about toxic. 4 years and counting. Got you feeling like an option. Maybe I'm my own problem, babe. She's tired of hearing, I don't know. My stubborn in me won't fall. Oh, oh. Dealing with this thing called trust. But she really thinking about she want to be free. Welcome back. Now let's get into our Underdog Fantasy picks of the day. Tonight, the Warriors will play the Heat. Underdog Fantasy has Steph Curry at 25.5 points. Do you have him higher or lower? Mace?
Higher.
You'll have to be higher.
Okay. Yeah, they're playing for the playoffs.
Okay. Jimmy Butler's at 4.5 first quarter points. Do you have him higher or lower, Cam?
I'll go higher as well.
Yeah, it's higher.
Okay. And Bam is at 32.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
Lower.
Lower.
Okay, download the Underdog Fantasy app and you can make your picks too.
Yep, and also make sure you guys tune in this afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern for Mark Jackson and the Mark Jackson Show with his son Blue. And that's 3 times a week on Tuesdays at 3 p.m., Thursdays at 3 p.m., and on Fridays at 4 p.m. right after Stat Show at 3 p.m. Eastern. Check out the stat.
There you go. Okay, so Toronto Raptors forward Jontae Porter is under investigation by the NBA due to betting irregularities. In a game versus the Raptors, he played 3 minutes before the Raptors said he had to leave because of an illness. Sportsbooks had his over and under at 7.5 points and 5.5 rebounds. They reported his bet was the number one moneymaker from the night in the NBA. Obviously, it's being under investigation. Does the whole situation sound fishy to you? Because we've been seeing a lot of these stories recently. What do you guys think?
Oh, my goodness. Nigga said he had to go. His stomach was hurting after he met the parlay. Did he meet the parlay?
Definitely the under. I don't even think he scored a point. Let me double check.
Yeah. So he probably made sure the whole thing went through. This is crazy. What do you do if you're a team and somebody's betting against the productivity of your own team? You got, I don't want to be the one to say it, but you got to get rid of them. If this comes out to be true, you got to get rid of anybody betting against the team and helping that to be a reality. I don't know how else to explain that.
Me and Larry was talking about this before we came over here because he's a big better. And few things come to mind. First of all, what I said, niggas is just stupid for keep getting caught. That's first of all. I just said niggas is stupid. You know, Larry makes way more sense out of the actual scenario. To me, I'm just looking at the overall that how do niggas, everybody keep getting caught? Like, yo, I just look at the stupidity of niggas getting caught. Even like the Otani situation, why is shit coming directly from your bank account?
Yeah.
To the sports book. You know, a great scenario that Larry was saying about Otani was like basically the money, and we're talking about the baseball player for the Dodgers for our audience that don't know what I'm talking about, who interpreter is under investigation or whatever it is for betting, whatever they were betting, just to give context to what I'm talking about. How does the money come from Otani's bank account? You know, the way Larry phrased it, and I think it's a great phrase, to where we ride with a gun, I'm the superstar, we get pulled over, and I'm like, you know, you got to take the gun shots. Yeah.
You don't got a single coming out.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you got to take this gun charge, nigga. And I was like, that's a great way to put the Otani situation. This particular situation just sound like stupidness to me because he's under 7 points. He met the under, but it's the biggest bet of the night, which means You told somebody that 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 told their friend that told their friend and told their friend and told their friend. So you, whoever your man is or your, the niggas next to you, they went and told a bunch of other motherfuckers to where now they're investigating, like, why is this the biggest bet of the night out of all the sports gambling of that night? Mm-hmm. This is the biggest bet on this nigga? Nah, investigation. Investigation, nigga. Fuck it. Fuck all of a sudden everybody want to place money on this bet. You let the wrong niggas know, and the niggas that you let know, they let niggas know. And them niggas let niggas know. So it was stupid. You got to have somebody that you fuck with, like Larry said, that got to take that gun charge. You can't, you know what I'm saying? The nigga who take the gun charge can't blame it on a nigga that this backseat and that backseat. Oh, wasn't he supposed to be in this car? The niggas in that car put it in this car. Like, yo, my nigga, you got to get one nigga you fuck with and do go through all the channels and then say, if shit go down, I'm taking the gun. And this sounds like a pure mess that whoever you gave this information to, they leaked it to too many people. And listen, if I'm running a sports book, or app or anything else, and I see this and I'm like, this nigga ain't even that important for everybody to be betting on him.
Yeah,
everybody's under investigation. Yeah, his kids, his mother, his father, everybody's under investigation. So to me, like I said, my overall thing is, how do niggas keep getting caught? Secondly, the stupidity. And lastly, get some new friends, nigga. Period.
I think if the way these guys are, they shouldn't even be betting. The kind of money Ohtani is making, that's almost being greedy in a sense. You getting that much money, what are you betting on? Betting on yourself, I can understand that if you're working to get a better contract, but after you get the money, what are you betting on? You just got a risk habit. Nigga just missed. How far you could push the limit. It's crazy.
Okay. Well, what's also crazy is today the Celtics lost their, or last night, the Celtics lost their 9-game winning streak and blew a 30-point lead to the Hawks, losing 120 to 118. How do you guys feel about the Hawks being the team to mess up the Celtics streak without Ice Trey the Gang?
That's what the first thing I was thinking. My boy Ice Trey the Gang wasn't even there and y'all lost. This makes you put a lot of respect on Murray's name. I guess Murray. Shout out to my boy Murray. I guess Murray took it personal and said, you know what? Ice Trey wasn't here, but I'm here. And that's what it seemed like happened. But, you know, they was due to break that record. And you prefer them break the record now so they don't go into the playoffs with this. I know we got a little bit ways from that. But it's better to start getting that, you know, change right now. But I still don't think they should be losing to the Hawks at all, especially with the type of talent they got on that team. It makes no sense to lose whether Ice Trey is there or not, but definitely without Ice Trey.
I don't think it's a big deal, me personally.
Yeah,
they was on a 9-game winning streak. To Mace's credit, that's what I was actually going to say. Lose now, you know, get it out the way. But they was on a 9-game winning streak. They took their foot off the pedal towards the end of the game. Probably sounds like, I didn't watch the game, but being that they were up so many points and end up losing, I'm not looking at it as a big deal. Boston Celtics not only clinched the division, they clinched the conference. So that means they're number one in the Eastern Conference all the way through the playoffs, no matter who they play in the playoffs, they're going to be number one in the Eastern Conference, not just their division. I'm not looking at the big deal. It's the NBA. You lose games, sometimes you're not supposed to lose. But look at their record. The next closest team to the Celtics, and I'm not even talking about just in the East. I'm talking about period is 6-7 games behind the Celtics, and that's in the Western Conference. We're looking at the Denver Nuggets, Oklahoma City Thunder, and those are only two teams that's even close to the Boston Celtics. Everything else is, they're not even in the rear view. Even Milwaukee Bucks, which is in second place right now, 10 games behind the Boston Celtics. 57-15, meaning that, what's that? They have about, how many games left would that be? Probably 15 games left. even if they win 10 more. Like right now, what Boston is fighting for is home court through the championship, if they make it to the championship. It is, they have home court in the Eastern Conference. Right now, it's more about locking in to see if they have home court if they make it to the championships, because championship, not saying they will, but if they do, and right now the favorites, the Denver Nuggets, I think that'll be important if they play Denver.
And then Jim Harbaugh says, J.J. McCarthy is the best quarterback in the draft, in his opinion. So what do you guys think about Harbaugh's support? And then do you guys have a favorite quarterback in the draft?
I could think of probably two quarterbacks, but I'll start with the Caleb Williams. I definitely believe he's one of the better quarterbacks in the draft. I don't see J.J. McCarthy going before Caleb, even with style of play. But, you know, to each his own. Everybody have a different quarterback. Some people like the more athletic quarterback. Some people, pause, like the one that stay in the pocket more, the traditional type of quarterback. But I think he's definitely up there, but I wouldn't put him past Caleb for this. And I think it came down to what Caleb was able to do at Oklahoma that already sealed the number one spot for him, even though it shouldn't be that way. Because if we was talking about just the last year, there's a lot of people that would put J.J. McCarthy there.
So, I'm sorry, J.J. McCarthy, and pardon me for being rude or anything else, I'm just asking a question. Is that the Michigan quarterback?
J.J. McCarthy, yes.
Duh, you want to say that? I didn't even know that, and I knew you just, not even brain surgery. Like, yo, I didn't even know who the nigga was, and no disrespect, because they just won the national championship. But why wouldn't he say that? That nigga been y'all quarterback who just got you a national championship. That's when I read the top, and it's like, Jim Harbaugh says he's the best quarterback. Like, let me guess, the quarterback from Michigan? Not brain surgery. If we're looking at the mock draft of quarterbacks, we got Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Spencer Rattle. He's not in the top 10. He's not. So your coach is supposed to help you get a job if he helped you win the national championship. It's not really brain surgery. I think this is what Harbaugh is supposed to say about a person that helped him get his first national championship with so much pressure on him throughout the years at Michigan to get a national championship. I would say the same thing if it was my player as well, but looking at a mock draft for quarterbacks, he's not in the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, also shout out to him for supporting him though, because there obviously is a lot of quarterbacks in front of him. So we'll see what happens, but I don't even think he's going to be top 5, but shout out J.J. McCarthy for doing his thing. Okay. So last thing before we wrap, Ryan Garcia's odd social media posts continue. He posted, I'm giving out free BBLs and boob jobs. Hit me up. No weird stuff. Just out here supporting. No disrespect either. I respect all women. I love and support all women in the world. I'm just getting a lot of requests in my DM. So I decided to go full support mode. Who with me? RG for president.
Yeah. Free BBLs is wild. That sounds like a song. Free BBLs.
Nobody no ideas.
That sounds like an old Migos song. Free BBLs.
That's all you got to say. I think me personally, I don't know if this is mind games that Ryan is playing. I don't know. You know, it's a bunch of weird shit that been going on with him the last month or so, whether it's him in the gym doing ballerina boxing, whether it's he's supposed to lose his mind, now he's giving out free BBLs. Maybe he has a different approach to marketing the fight, making people think that he's bugging out. When he maybe is, maybe he isn't, but I know everybody knows he has a big fight coming up. So
he's definitely trolling free BBL.
Right, exactly. So at the end of the day, I can't get mad at his marketing scheme, because even when you see him training, it doesn't even look like he's doing a lot of training. And it may be all to throw you off, but Noah Hopkins said that about him. Like, different fighters had different ways to market a fight. Maybe this is his approach to market the fight.
How much is a BBL?
Thousands of dollars.
Like about $7,500.
$7,500. So he said free BBLs, more than one $7,500, and a boob job.
It depends where you get it done.
How much is a boob
too.
Job?
Thousands. It depends where you get it done. Like different locations.
Like the
different
good,
prices.
A good one.
Good one.
One where you can tell.
No, I say that a lot. Yeah. I just had to tell somebody about themselves recently. Like, nigga, you snuck off the Dominican Republic to get your shit, nigga, because it's cheap out there. Almost lost your damn life because the blood wasn't right when you got out there. Cheap BBLs, you know, some people want them so bad that they're willing to go out the country to get them. And then when you come back to America, they may not want to fuck with you because you went out there and fucked yourself up.
So is the cheap ones, the no concrete ones?
But some of them are good out the country as well.
The cheap one is the concrete ones, like the antifreeze.
If you want, I got somebody on the show tomorrow and... I know a lot of people that know a lot of people.
For educational purposes.
When he says free BBLs, Ryan, I hope you don't give nobody the wrong BBL.
Yeah, well, what a BBL is, it's not implants. It's basically taking the fat from one part of your body and putting it somewhere else.
So what I'm talking about is shots then, right?
You're talking about cement, shit like that. Yeah. But I like to call that as the first batch. When you get the joint where they experiment on you to get it right.
So, yeah, that's how you know, laughing. That's how you kill yourself, ladies. Don't get the first batch.
Yeah, don't do that. So I caught out the first batch, but when
so
then
that ain't the free BBL. That ain't the free BBL.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like they got it pretty much down to science. But even when you're getting these jobs done, it's a lot that goes into it. You have to get the right body fat. You have to take the right blood pressure. And it's a lot that goes in. You can't just do it. You have to eat right. It's a whole regimen of shit you have to do to get it done. Not only that, somebody has to take care of you to make sure that your stomach is good and your ass pores is good or whatever the case is. And that's why they have a lot of people making money off these massage centers, because even after you get it done, you have to go get your ass rubbed the right way and all type of shit. I was looking into doing one of those. Me personally.
The post center?
Yeah, the post center. Come with Gucci flip-flops and ass rubs. Because the post center is important. Because it ain't just afterwards. You got to go like every couple months to get that thing rubbed right. Because it can start looking lumpy if you don't get it done the correct way. So
if his girl think he's cheating, he just come out in a robe, you tell her no. I was working on my post center, you know?
Yeah. I'm getting the post together.
Getting the post center together.
And I'm joking when I say that, ladies, but I was seriously thinking about opening one, not me personally, because they just put one in Harlem where you could go get your BBL or anything else, but they don't have a post house yet. And I was like, maybe
the
I should get
house.
One. Yeah, the post house.
You can catch it. I was practicing.
Yeah. I mean, not me. Like I said, me personally. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about opening the center, not actually doing the massages. Because, I think them niggas is perverts. Preferably a lot of ladies do it, though. It's a lot of ladies who do the massages. And it's not just massages with your hands, just machines. It's all this machines and all that. Been around for a long minute, Murder. Been around a few BBLs, man.
I was going to say, y'all definitely know a lot. Definitely know a lot about it. Yeah. Okay.
Real quick before we go, though, real quick, two stat. I want to give a big shout out to the NCAA Women's Tournament. It's been fucking lit. Mm-hmm. Games has been exciting.
Look close. At this thing.
I was going to say,
I'm not seeing through the reflection. Put the camera on these niggas outside. Yeah. Like they want a reflection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, camera.
Yeah. Oh, brand new BBL.
Get a BBL.
Get a BBL. Get a BBL. Why do they always dance like that? Yeah. Oh.
Whoa. Snap. Who would they? Why do you say why would they always dance like
y'all,
that?
I went to an EDM day party and I was like, oh. Okay.
Okay.
Chill. Yeah.
So who is they?
Yeah, they, she said they always dance like that. Who is they? Yeah, but what I was going to say is the NCAA women's tournament has been super duper lit. Games have been close, exciting. It's been a thrill to watch. Even last night, the Iowa-West Virginia game was very exciting. Down to the final minute. Everybody who's supposed to win so far has been winning. So shout to South Carolina. UConn is in the fold. USC with Juju Watkins. Angel Reese and LSU. And I'm really looking forward to the next round because if Iowa wins and LSU wins, they play each other in Elite Eight, which would be a rematch of last year's championship. Looking at Iowa play, I watched the whole game today of Iowa. Somebody going to have to step the fuck up. Caitlin Clark can't do everything, and everybody looked like a deer caught in headlights. I watched the entire game. It is no Scottie Pippen, and there's enough seniors on there that play with her all 4 years that somebody's going to have to step up, or they won't make it to the Elite Eight. But shout out to Caitlin Clark. She also broke another record last night with the most points in a single season, women's NCAA season ever. And not only that, she already has the record for most points in the NCAA, man or woman. But it was real enthusiastic to watch. It's been a great first round, and nobody disappointed.
And what's number four name from LSU? She was getting busy. How you Flage? Say
Flage.
Yeah, was getting crazy. She was going crazy.
Yeah, man. If I had to make a pick out the first round, it's just South Carolina steamrolling. Doing Staley, they're steamrolling. But, you know, games get harder as it goes along. But I just want to say this weekend did not disappoint, not even a little bit. It was sensational to watch. I'm sitting there screaming at the TV, and I'm like, what the fuck? Because I'm sitting there, you know, watching the West Virginia play Iowa, and West Virginia almost beat Iowa. It was a nail biter, and Iowa pulled away at the last minute. And I was sitting there saying to myself, Myrna, I'm like, I'm looking at people, parents in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a lot of black kids playing, a lot of black parents in the crowd, and fathers and mothers and so on and so forth. And this is not what Cam would say, but I'm just telling you how parents feel, and brothers and sisters and cousins and so forth who's going to play against Caitlin Clark. Better not let that white bitch bust y'all ass. You better not. And they can't do nothing about it. they can't. Look, Marty, you know what's strategic. Keep it 100 in a black household. In a black person's household, you're going to be like, you better not let that white bitch bust y'all ass. And I'm not saying that's the words I would use. I'm talking about any black household when you're playing against Caitlin Clark and you have a daughter who can play. But I think that even today, somebody on Iowa is going to have to step up or they're going to be in trouble because nobody stepped up. She had 32 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and the team probably had 60. She had more, 60, 65 points. 64 points, and she had 34 points. So,
yeah.
Shout out to NCAA's women first round. Sensational, sensational, man.
There you go. Shout out March Madness. Okay. Well, that's all the time we have.
Hold on, real quick. I want you to learn. And another thing, as this is what I'm talking about with the NCAA. This was, and last thing, because I know we got to go. Y'all didn't even let the women use March Madness 4 years ago, 3 years ago. They wasn't allowed to use the word March Madness. Now, because more attention is being focused on them, now it's Women's March Madness. Y'all ain't low. Y'all niggas is not low, bro. That shit is wild with the NCAA. The way y'all try to pocket y'all money and not share it with nobody is amazing, man. Sorry.
No, all good. You said what you had to say. Hey, y'all. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. Thanks for watching. And as always, it is what it is. Two Big Macs. Like when they doing them two for five.